Howdy and welcome to Cloudy Thoughts with MK, soon to be renamed. That reveal is coming shortly. If you hear the garbage truck in the back, forgive me. I literally moved into my room from outside my normal location to get a bit more quiet, but I hope that everybody's having a wonderful day. It's February. Happy Black History Month. I know it's not the most ideal kind of environment that we are currently in as a country when it comes to just diversity as a whole, but hang in there. There is so much to celebrate, so much to be joyous about, the culture that, you know, Black people bring to the world is forever immortalized in almost every single piece of its operating parts. So I'm just really, really happy to embrace community and to find hope and peace with one another, even in the face of legislation that is trying to pull us further apart. Anyways, today we are going to be talking about how embracing the unexpected can change your life. I know it changed mine. I never expected to run track and field. My dream was to go play at Baylor and be the next Brittany Griner. I always really, really admired her work ethic, and I remember telling my dad, like, this is what I'm gonna do. I did not have her talent level, and I did not play for a long enough time for that to come to fruition. I actually ended up going to playing softball for a little bit as well, and then was pulled out of that too. And there was a period of time where I wasn't engaging in sport at all. I really, really wanted to. I was a very, like, kind of hyperactive kid. Still am as an adult. I have a lot of energy. And I just was not given the opportunity to expel that in the manner that I wanted to. And so I kind of gave up on being in organized sport. And I was going through high school. And I'm a yapper. So I was consistently late, and this one day I was running through the halls. I was like, oh my God, like, I have to get to class, because if I got one more tardy, I was going to get detention, and I didn't want to deal with being in trouble. I just needed to get to where I was going. So I'm running through the halls and I hear, hey, hey, I'm like, ugh. And hit a thur, thur, of like the bell. And at that point I was like, well, okay, I'm already late. So what is it? I turn around and I see a tall blonde woman walk up to me. She's obviously a part of the faculty at my alma mater, LD Bell High School. Go Blue Raiders. And she's asked me, like, why are you running in the hallways? And I'm like, ma'am, honestly, I was just trying not to be late. I'm consistently late, and I'm going to now probably get detention because of, you know, it's just the consequences of my own actions. And so she struck a deal with me, and this one decision in accompaniment along with my choice to embark on said decision changed the course of my life. The woman that I was talking to is named Sandy Hunch. She is, or was, the athletic director of sports at LD Bell, as well as the sprints and hurdles track coach. So the deal that she struck with me was that, hey, come and try out for the track team. I will go ahead and I will write you a permission slip. And so me, I was not trying to be in detention. It was not the vibe. At the time, I do believe I was getting into trouble a little bit more, like, with my parents too. So I was just like, okay, like, whatever you say. Had no intention of going and running track, by the way. There wasn't a bone in my body that was like, yeah, like, let me go run in circles. Let me go run in circles for fun. Like, that's totally going to be something that I enjoy doing. But I remember ruminating on it a bit more when I went home. And I told my dad, like, hey, Dad, I have this opportunity to go and run track. Is this something that you would allow me to do? Now, a little bit of background about my upbringing. My dad did his best to make sure that I was focused and wasn't going to be in environments that were going to put me in a situation where I was tempted to operate in a manner that wasn't withstanding of the morals that he had himself. And so he tended to see organized sport as a means of interacting with people that could potentially be deemed like bad association. I had heard the scripture, bad association spoils useful habits, all my life. That's part of the reason why I wasn't allowed to do basketball or softball anymore after a certain amount of time. Get into that another time. But basically, I told him, like, Dad, it's not going to take up a lot of time. There's only this amount of meets. Like, please, just let me try this out. And so I honestly don't remember how the rest of that conversation went, but he ended up letting me. So here I go onto the track my first day. I've never run track in my life. I've always liked to race. I would race my dad all the time. And I fell in love with the team, like, orientation, as well as the fact that it was very individualistic and they needed hurdlers. I had never hurdled a day in my life. I was my form was horrible, but I was just having fun jumping over a barrier. I fell in love with the sport. I fell in love with the sport so much that I started to get dreams of going and doing it in college. And I expressed this to my family, and I was like, oh, like, okay. There wasn't like a whole lot of, what do you need to get there? Like, let's just, and let me be honest, like, they got me spikes, of course. They went to my meets from time to time. Like, I wasn't without, you know, buy-in, but this dream of going and pursuing collegiate sport was my own. And I got an offer from Tabor College in Kansas. I also got a postcard from Concordia University, Irvine. And I remember thinking to myself, like, what is this little Lutheran school in California? Like, I'm not going over there. No vibes. And I also had wanted to stay in Texas. I wanted to be by my family. I was deeply in love with someone at the time. And I was happy with my friends. I was happy and comfortable in my environment. And so I was like, I'm solidified in staying here. I'm not going anywhere. So we're going to fast forward. I obviously ran track for a while. I stepped into leadership. We won the very first District 6A conference championship. And just, that was a very core memory for me. And I was like, okay, you know, I'm going to do what I need to do to go and run in college. So my plan was to go ahead and walk on to the University of Texas in Arlington, or known as UTA. I hit up the coach. I let him know that I was interested. I went ahead and sent in my transcripts. I was doing everything that I could. I even went and visited the the track on my own. I was envisioning myself running around, just really, really stepping into being a college athlete. And I remember I spoke to the coach, and he was like, at a minimum, we need, like, every single person on our team runs a sub 6400. I had not done that. I was, short sprints was my specialty, and then I did 300 hurdles as well. So I was like, okay, I know what my training is going to look like. I know exactly what he's needing. This is what we're going to do. So I'm all set up, right? I've a good leader has a plan. So I have a plan. I've set it into motion. I know my steps. I'm ready to go. I'm ready to go all in. And I find out from my mom that her job is now moving her to California. This was like a week before, excuse me, not a week. This is like a month, excuse me, before school was about to start. And there had been rumblings of this. She had mentioned it a little bit, but it was very much in the back of my head. And I was like, it's not going to happen, whatever. So now I was faced with, oh, shoot, I was going to be commuting to this school. I put in all this effort. I put in this plan to go out there and to succeed. So I was like, okay, like, let me pivot. Let me try and figure this out. And another option was to go and live with my grandparents, who I love so much. I adore them. Hi, Grandma, and hi, Grandpa. But something inside of me was like, no, like, that's not what you want to do. And like, I wrestled with this for a very long time. I was like, what do you mean that's not what I want to, like, no, like, what about this plan? What about this woman that I love? What about my friends? What about my comfortability? What about what I knew I was supposed to do? But there was something inside of me that was not allowing it to rest. I remember literally not allowing me to rest. I remember losing sleep over this. And what I now understood was that my intuition was telling me to go. My intuition was like, hey, you may not know what's on the other side of this, but you have an opportunity here. And when I was younger, I always had dreamed of going to California. I always saw it as like this place of being able to be free and have opportunity, be in the sun and like be able to swim and just be myself. And as a Black queer woman, there are a lot of other places where I'm not as accepted. And so what it came down to as I was reflecting is that the reasons that I wanted to stay were more so about other people. Yes, I wanted to run in college, and yes, I had a plan, but it's like, why couldn't I just go walk on at another school out there? You know, if it was as far as my relationship, why couldn't I do long distance? Why can't I visit my friends and fly out? This is a very normal experience. And so I started thinking about, okay, like what's a way for me to get into a school out there? Because I genuinely started to want to go, and my gut was telling me to go. There was something inside of me that was like, dude, you're going to regret this if you don't bounce. So, and I remembered 2 years prior, because LD Bell starts in the 10th grade rather than the 9th grade. So when I was running, I got this postcard from Concordia, and it's like, told you to put your information as well as the events that you did in your times. And I just tucked away in like a drawer, didn't think about it. So I went back into my drawer, and lo and behold, I don't know how, seeing as I lose everything in my, I tend to lose things, it was still there. I fill out everything, and I remember when I was writing down, I was just like, I really hope they get back to me. I really hope they get back to me. And just to put this into perspective, by the time that I was sending this out, there really was no guarantee that they're even going to see it or receive it. And on top of that, any kind of scholarship money is normally gone. They allot that way earlier. So, and this was July. But I went ahead and I sent it in the mail, and I kind of just left it up to God. I was like, whatever happens is going to happen. I'm in my room. A few days later, I'm chilling. I hear, and I'm like, I look, and it said Irvine, California. And I was like, no way. So I answer the phone, and I ended up talking to the dude that would come to be my second track coach ever, Coach Hinkfoot. And through my communication with him, I just saw that I had an opportunity to go and run at a place that valued community and family while also pushing you. And on top of that, they still had athletic scholarship available on top of academic scholarship. So I told my mom, her job was going to be moving her, or was going to be based in LA. So it would be a bit of a commute, but she figured it out, and she made that sacrifice to find a place. We ended up living in Newport Beach first before we got a house in Costa Mesa. But she decided, like, I'm going to support you in this. And so, like, a week before school started, me and my mom drove out to California. My car was being shipped, so I didn't have a vehicle yet. And I was in a hotel for a few days with her, and then a few days by myself when school started, because she went back to continue to pack up the house with my dad and my sister, Janae. And I started school. It was a complete 180 from what I expected, and it was hard. Like, I'm not going to sit here and be like, it all worked out 100%. Like, no, I did not train over the summer. It was a slap in the face, the training that you get in college. Anyone that was there my freshman year, I threw up on the first day during the warm-up lap because I hadn't run all year. Excuse me, I hadn't run over the entirety of the summer. I didn't prepare. But I got the opportunity to be in an entirely new environment. And I remember one of the first times that I went to the beach. I love sunsets. I love Texas sunsets specifically because it's flat. So the horizon stretches on forever. There's clouds, the colors bleed into one another. But the way that I experience the ombre hues of the sun settling on the water around people that also were having this first time experience of either being away from home or being away from what they knew and just being in community with one another. It brought me to tears. And that was one of those moments where I'm like, I don't know exactly what's going to be coming after this. This is all very new and all very scary, but I'm where I'm supposed to be. And freshman year for me was difficult. My GPA was like a 2.67 my first semester. I was not focused. I was going through the difficulty of being away from my partner. I, you know, was grappling with the fact that I was feeling a lot of shame for not being like this hotshot athlete anymore. It was difficult. And then here comes in March 2020, COVID hits, right? I was on the track, and I remember we were having a really good practice, and I was like, oh my God, like I'm feeling in shape. Keep in mind, I hadn't trained over the summer, so it took me a while to adjust. And normally you peak like junior, senior year in college anyway. So I was getting used to what we were doing. And I remember being so excited. If y'all hear it, it's honey. I'm gonna let you in, baby. Give me a second. I remember being so excited to race that week, you know. And then we just got this text from our coach like, hey, we're gonna meet for like a meeting quickly. And it was raining. It was very, very like just foggy. And we went in there and they told us our season was over. Yet another unexpected event. And I mourned it for a while. I was just like, bro, like I finally got to where I was at. I've been training. I've been working my butt off. My academics got better. I was just like, why? It's one thing after another. I plan and I'm ready. And yet there's another pivot. And I easily could have took that time to mope, to be angry, to quit. And I considered it like college track is hard. Go out and ask a college athlete if they enjoy practice. Go ask them if they enjoy an aerobic capacity practice specifically and get back to me. It was difficult for me. And my mentality was not as strong as it is now either. I was very soft. So, but what it gave me was the opportunity to want something out of desire versus out of necessity. And what I mean by that is I was put into a place where it's like, okay, I'm moving to California. What am I going to do? I now was in a space of like, okay, like everything shut down. I'm at home. I can chill and be on my phone. I was working at Starbucks still, like just do that and just let it figure itself out. Or I can continue to chase this dream of pursuing athletic excellence, not knowing when it's going to come back. And so I grinded my butt off. Sometimes I would get off work late and I would do my workouts at night. I was eating healthy. That's just when I first started posting things and talking to people, trying to uplift them as well. I did that in high school a little bit, but more so this really, really put me on that journey of like personal development and seeing the confidence and being able to look back at like the process of growth. That was very inspiring for me. And the world was adjusting to a time that was very scary, that was very uncertain and full of grief and full of loss and full of just a completely dynamic than what we knew beforehand. And yet we were able to overcome. And so one of the most validating things for me when I came back and we started training, I heard a coach of mine be like, MK, like you're fit. Like you look like a totally different athlete. And I was the same person that I had always been, but I just was able to tap into it more. I was able to turn something that was a complete curveball into something that worked in my favor. And that is something that I have noticed has benefited me in my life over and over and over. It's not about the things that happen to you. It's about the way that you respond to them. I have a tattoo on the side of my body that says 10 versus 90. It's like 10V in the 90. And what that means for me is like life is 10% what happens and then 90% like how you respond, how you react to it. I I kind of think it's like 70-30 now. It was a bit harsh on the numbers, but the premise is that we all have the opportunity to choose. And that doesn't mean that we're not going to suffer, that it's not going to be hard, that we're not going to experience failure or despair or frustration or anger. Like, those are very natural and necessary emotions to go through. But after that, you get a chance to choose. You always have the choice to choose. You maintain your power. You maintain your autonomy, your authenticity. And I knew what I wanted. I knew how important it was to me to continue forward. And there's a specific time that stood out to me. So after we would go and have a meet, there would be this thing called Athlete of the Meet. And we had gone to Northwest Missouri. And that's one of those meets are like, I kind of bawled out. I was excited, you know. And Coach Bloom gave me the honor of, like, he was speaking about the way I showed up, and was like, he called me like a true golden eagle. And I don't even know if he remembers this. I have the quote. I'm losing my concentration a bit, because it felt so powerful to me, because the entire time of that meet, I wasn't trying to show up in a certain way. Like, I wasn't trying to gain attention. I wasn't looking for accolades. Like, I genuinely was just so happy to be there. And I performed well in my races, and I cheered on my team, and I hugged them, and I laughed, and I cried tears of joy. And, like, I was able to step into the leader that I am, which is from a very encouraging and empowering and, like, you can go and fucking do this, like, let's go kind of space. So to hear him say that, like, I'm a true golden eagle, or a true Concordia eagle at the time. I don't know if we were the golden eagles yet. And to get that distinction of athlete of the meet for the first time, going from having thrown up on the warm-up lap, not being on travel team, to having that experience was a surreal moment for me. And it sticks out to me as far as being able to curate reality into what I needed to be in that moment, which was, I'm going to take control of what I can control. I'm going to continue to pursue excellence, and excellence does not equal perfection. It equals doing and being, doing everything that it takes, whatever it takes to accomplish what it is that you're trying to accomplish. And I saw that same kind of work all throughout college, like all throughout this process of being an athlete. And there were harder times, you know. And there's a certain point where I kept falling. My junior year, I think I fell 4 or 5 times. I cut open my leg, I had a scar. And I started having this innate fear of like, my God, like, can I hurdle anymore? Am I capable of this? And what I did with that started me on my journey of therapy. That started on me on my journey of getting to the roots of why I was so fearful of this continuous failing. And it was rooted to stuff in childhood, which I never would have thought. And that kind of led me back to my path of wanting to be in psychology. Like, with every single opportunity or every single experience that we have, we never know what those ripple effects are going to be. And I think that's so powerful, because the interactions that we have with one another fall into that same category. The reason that I go out and live my life in the way that I do, which is like believing in everyone and anyone and loving on people, even if I don't know you fully, but just truly loving on you, is because I have no idea what the ripple effect of that is going to be. There have been so many times where I was having the worst day, and someone's kindness, a simple hello, a simple, excuse me, a holding of a door, like someone taking an interest in what I'm doing, a teammate pushing me when I'm tired and I can't feel my heart anymore because it was beating so fast and like I'm breathing hard and it's painful. And they're like, we got this, let's go. The support of people is what pushes me to continue to give that out to others. Because in the times where I least expected it, I got that kind of love. And I just think about the journey now. I've been in California for 6 years. I'm working at a residential with kids in a leadership program that allows me to continue to step into who I am, which is a strong, powerful, loving leader. And I wouldn't change that journey for the world. Like, it, there's so many ups. There were so many ups and downs, the loss of friendships, the loss of relationships, the gaining of friendships, the gaining of relationships, the ability to continue to grow into an adult. I had multiple coaches. I had multiple roommates. I had the opportunity to fail and be safe in that failure. Nothing in this life is promise except for death, change, and taxes. So what are you going to do with that change? What are you going to do with these opportunities that present themselves to stretch, to do something different, to take a chance? Your heart knows. Your intuition knows. So what happens when you get out of your head, you get into your heart, and you decide that you're going to take control of your own destiny, of your own personal legend, of your own circumstance, whatever terms you want to use, and go for it? That's what this is to me. I don't know where it's going to take me. I don't know what's coming next, but I know that I love talking to people. I love learning. I love spreading positivity. I'm passionate about personal development. And I truly believe if I had not taken that opportunity to come out here with my family, to get into school, to get exposed to communications, to a communication undergrad course, to public speaking, to an area that had audio equipment, to others who enjoyed oration, to people who put me onto certain books, to my neighbor Ash that allowed me to get into this leadership program, to my teammates at Concordia, two of who I now live with. All these different ripple effects, all these different unexpected encounters, all these different things I never could have planned or anticipated have allowed me to be and experience the person that I am deeper, to enjoy the earth more deeper, to love on people that I am now so, so thankful to experience. So take that chance and trust yourself. You are not fragile. You are capable of doing anything and everything that you set your mind to. And yes, everything. You want some inspiration? Go and watch Dochi's YouTube video from 2019 and then go watch her is it a Grammy? Yeah, go watch her Grammy acceptance speech. I was crying tears because that is one of those examples of someone who spoke their life into existence and did whatever it took to get there. I just want you to know that you can do the same. You know, there's nothing that's too big or too small or too crazy or too simple or too gentle or too visionary for you to accomplish. When unexpected experiences befall us, it can be very easy to lean into fear. Fear of the unknown, the uncertainty behind it, the what if it doesn't work out? And it makes sense. It fits the facts. But behind that fear, behind that trepidation, who are you? What do you want? What burns for you? What is your dream? And what if this is the opportunity that you were waiting for, that you didn't even know you were waiting for, that can push you closer to that? The last thing I want to share with you is that as a kid, my dream was to be a writer for Vice. I have always loved stories. I've always loved words. I've loved people and cultures. And I always learned so much from the articles that I read. And I remember I had a conversation with my mom about wanting to be a writer, and she let me know, like, you can't make a lot of money doing that. And so I let it go. And looking back at it now, the uncertainty of being able to support myself kept me in a space of like, I'm just not going to go for it. And now, a decade later, I'm back at my heart loves to speak and explore and share with others my experience of the world. That love was still there. That dream was still there. It's always been there. Always will be there. And I'm able to step into that. So what do you get to step into? Who do you get to be so that your dream lives, so that your heart sings, so that your people are taken care of, so that on your deathbed, you can breathe a sigh of relief because you lived. To your highest potential, you lived. That opportunity could be the ticket to getting closer to living the life that you deserve. I love you. I believe in you. Please don't keep yourself small. Please don't let your fear keep you from your dreams. There is so much more than you could ever anticipate. My name is Michaela Butler. This is Cloudy Thoughts with MK. And I love you very deeply. You can do anything that you set your mind to. I promise. Peace.